Welcome to Focus Carolina, an exclusive program sponsored by the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. My name is Provost Bob Bluen, and I'm excited to share this series of interviews with our Carolina faculty here at WCHL. Dr. Alice Ammerman's work centers on finding innovative ways to solve community-based nutrition challenges. Through her work at the Gilling School of Global Public Health, she develops interventions to reduce obesity and chronic disease risk in low-income and minority populations. Working in some of the most vulnerable areas in the state, she is committed to public health and public service.
Dr. Ammerman has been on the UNC faculty for more than 20 years, most recently working on school nutrition and sustainable agriculture to address public health concerns.
I teach a course in public health nutrition policy, and I also teach a course in public health entrepreneurship. And then I direct something that's generically called a prevention research center. There are 26 of them around the country, and we call ours the Center for Health Promotion and Disease Prevention. And we have a lot of community-based research translating research into practice and prevention research. For many years, my research has been trying to find what I call the sweet spot between healthy food access for low-income populations and then also economic opportunity in rural communities, including agriculture, so farmers, but then also rural communities are always at the bottom when it comes to all kinds of health indicators and also economic opportunities. So it's hard to find something that works for both. If you want to make food affordable for low-income people, then it's hard to get a fair price for the farmers. We've tried things like working with corner stores with fresh produce, but it's got a very short shelf life and people don't know how to cook it. So after lots of different experiments, I landed on this idea of a healthy frozen meal that's already prepared and that it uses local food to support local farmers, seasonal, so that we try to use what's available and also try to use seconds, or some people say cosmetically challenged food, because if you're chopping it up and cooking it, it doesn't matter what it looks like. So that's a way to keep the price down. But then also often the farmers can't sell that. So if we can buy it from them for a lower price and then also make it into something that tastes good, then it's kind of a win-win. So creating this idea of Good Bowls, which is the name we came up with to describe this frozen product, is a dual price point thing. So in order to make it affordable at a convenience store to keep the price low enough, we're selling it at a higher price in higher end stores like Weber Street Market or the Durham Co-op, maybe one day Whole Foods. Because it's local food, it's healthy, it's convenient, it appeals to higher end consumers as well. I think we're getting close to the sweet spot.
The Good Bowls Dr. Ammerman's team have created also appeal to the new generation of students she teaches at Carolina and young entrepreneurs across the state.
I read a blog recently that talked about millennials and called them aspirationals. And it was saying that they want to give back and they want to also do good for themselves in terms of something healthy and do good for the environment. So it's kind of a nice mix of what Good Bowls are, but we certainly want to feature the farms that the food is coming from. And then eventually we want to help small communities to actually make the bowls. We'll give them the recipes and the packaging. And then if they can make it in their own commercial kitchens, then they can use farms from the local area and they can employ people in that area and then sell to the stores that they know. We're calling it a community franchise model. Well, there's kind of two parts of that. One is the economics of the business itself. And I always tell my students in my course that even if it's a company that's doing good things and social entrepreneurship, they have to find a way to keep it going. So there has to be some sort of financial support. In the actual communities, small to mid-sized farmers are struggling these days. North Carolina has one of the most rapid losses of farms in the country. So it's not just a hippie foodie kind of thing. It's a real world problem. And then the value-added processing facilities or commercial kitchens, many of those are underused. A lot of towns will build one hoping to encourage more business and entrepreneurial development, but people may use it once to bake cookies for a wedding, but they haven't really used it like intended to create a kind of new business. So by doing this kind of semi-franchise model, we hope to really help people in those communities get the jobs. I mean, ideally, one day we would also help employ hard-to-employ people, because in the food industry often does that because it's not super high-skilled. We probably need to take one step at a time, not try to do everything at one time.
Thank you for listening to Focus Carolina, sponsored by the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. To hear more interviews, visit chapelboro.com and click on WCHL On Demand or visit unc.edu.